extra long credits there.
Yeah, you got to let that extra, that extended version play out.
I like that version.
Oh, yeah, it's Albert.
Yeah, Albert and Albert. A couple other people. James, before they kill him off.
Right.
Who else? Cassandra.
Cassandra. Grace. Adam.
Yeah,
everybody's got to have a single title card.
Manly.
It's been a while since I had gone through the entire series, like, you know, just straight through with the kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming back to this episode now, I was kind of lost as to who some of these kids were.
My wife is, too. She's like, who the hell's that?
You know, there's an extended shot on, like, this little blonde kid. And, you know, there's a long they're at the dinner table, and I couldn't see them. Initially, when they did the long shot,
mm-hmm.
only when they did this close-up for, like, 4 seconds. And I'm like, is that, like, I don't know, Father Christmas is a kid or something? Like, it's just, I just could not remember who that kid was.
That's Grace.
Was it a girl? I didn't.
Yeah, that's Grace. She looks like she could be one of your kids. Right? She has, like, that same kind of hair your kids have and stuff. It's just kind of funny. I'm like, oh, my God.
So I'm going to have a lot of questions I normally wouldn't have if we had done this when I binged with the family. But who's Mary again? Who's Mary?
She's the one with the – you know what? I noticed that her hair is so bad in this episode.
It
that
is.
She looks like the daughter at the end of Mommy Dearest who cut all her hair off. It's
she
so bad.
Through most of the show.
Yeah, she was like, I'm kind of sleepy.
She doesn't get a flashback.
No, I feel bad for Mary.
I don't know what kind of behind the scenes was going on, but nobody liked Mary.
Now Mary just became kind of
I bet it was because Michael Landon didn't approve of Mary starring in Happy Birthday to Me, that slasher flick. And so he's like, I don't want this girl on the show anymore. She's just bad for the image.
Yeah, you know what? It could have been something like that. Kind of like with Cosby and
Lisa Bonet.
Yeah, Lisa Bonet with Angel Heart. Which I liked. It was a pretty good movie.
That would have been right around the time for this.
Really?
Yeah, that movie you just mentioned came out in May of 81, and this was December of 81.
Boom. There we go.
Yeah, you can picture Michael Landon with the cigarette in his mouth. He's like, we have to talk.
The Kodak camera in his other hand.
Shirtless.
Barry, pray you're not invited to this Christmas.
He'd be like completely shirtless in the fake snow.
Can I say, I wish we had some Christmas music playing. There's so much in this episode. But
it's almost nonstop.
If we added up all the shots of the house with the snow blowing and coming down,
yeah,
it would be half the episode. Well, this is a really padded episode, folks. This is just like really
like this.
That's not Christmas music.
That's 3 hours of Christmas music classics and holiday soup. This is not exactly what they would be listening to on the prairie, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we have music that they're going to be... When Pa and Alonzo make beautiful music together...
That's right.
That's what they listen to.
I don't know. I think they might be listening to this. All right.
So, should we introduce the episode?
Yeah.
I mean, we're about a week away in real time from... what is it? Hanukkah?
No, 10 days. Oh. 10 days. First day of Hanukkah is going to be on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. And that's it. Then you got 8 days of that, and you got Christmas, and it'll be all over, man.
I'm sorry, Mark. What do you? I guess you do Hanukkah, not Christmas, right?
Right.
And Chris, cooling. I don't know if that's Jewish or not.
No, Chris does so. Christmas.
Okay. Are you guys all done with your respective shoppings?
You know what? I have to get a few more gifts for Cub Scouts, but, well, you know, we do, like, the swapping thing. And I'm also organizing a thing where we, like, each one of the kids brings in a toy, and then we donate all the toys to, like, kids who are, like, in the hospital for the season and stuff like that. Oh, I do nice things, Chris.
You got the spirit. You got the spirit of Christmas right there.
And I'm the one who goes and brings it. I'm the one who, like, loads my car up with, like, you know, 80 toys and brings it in. And it's like, how.
Well, here's my contribution to the Christmas spirit. I'm, like, making personal appearances as Santa Claus.
I saw this.
Yeah.
At, you know, I do anything. Bar mitzvahs, weddings, whatever you need. So I had a couple of private parties last week.
A bris.
I actually do the cutting.
Oh, you're a Moyle.
In my Santa suit.
Yeah, I'm a Santa slash Moyle. A Moyle is the person who you would hire to do that.
I like to think I'm a fun Santa, you know, not like those, you know, photo Santas at the mall, you know, who just, they're so boring and dull.
You bring something to the table.
I think so.
Like, do you spray on, like, nutmeg? It's like, or do you smell like beef and cheese?
You don't ever have parents bring you their dying children and have...
Like, that's where things get sick.
Surely you've seen that in the news recently.
I did.
Yeah. Now they're saying it is likely to be untrue.
Oh yeah, that's totally really untrue.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I don't buy that for a second. Where's the video? I don't believe it's all untrue. It's fake news. The whole world.
Fake news.
But you know what's not fake news? Little House on the Prairie, season 8, episode 11. And it's a Christmas that they Christmas never time. Forgot.
Yeah. A plot so complicated, I think we need a synopsis.
I don't know. I mean, basically, it's, you know what it is? It's a roundtable discussion of all of their, not even all of their, but some of their...
Not Mary.
nothing of Mary. What was
Adam and Mary make an appearance at the beginning, and it's like, well, we're going to bed. Good night, everybody.
And they rip on him. It's like, in your city...
This was their final appearances on Little House on the Prairie. This was it.
Really?
They were never on the show again.
No.
Well, yep. It was season 8. I mean, I think Michael Landon left next season, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's when it became that new beginning.
Yeah. And he remained as an executive producer.
And director,
I'm sure. I'd have to look that up. I don't even know if he directed the episodes in season 9. Season 8 was heavy with Michael Landon episodes.
Well, let me ask you, what was the season with Albert on morphine?
That's the next,
that was
last episode.
Yeah.
And that was, I'm fairly certain that was a Michael Landon directed.
Wait, last episode of the season?
I don't know if it was, no, I don't think it was the last episode, but it's the next season, the last season.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the, what I was saying, it was the next year.
It was Pa's final appearance, Albert's final appearance.
No, because Albert comes back with leukemia.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He does?
Back me up here.
Is that like one of those special movie ones?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. And it's
that's the next episode.
That's where they blow up the town.
Oh my God, my kid's got to see that.
I have it. It's on my server.
Right, and there's continuity errors with Albert as well.
Like, at the end of this episode with the morphine, at the end it says, oh, he became a doctor.
Right, and then in the following movie special, they had him dying and indicated that, you know, they showed the hands in the air and indicated that was his goodbye.
Oh, my God.
it was a case of the writers not keeping track of the characters.
Then I think the following season he was in WizKids and he was a hacker.
There you go.
And let's not forget Deadly Friend.
Yes.
Right.
Speaking of writing, this show is poorly written. So it's kind of, you know, I know it's befitting the season. You know, it's a little, was it? Not melodramatic, but I guess schmaltzy.
Yeah, this was a much more simple idea. And they're like, we can stretch it into an episode.
Barely.
Well, all right, so the premise is they're all getting together for Christmas. And there's a huge snowstorm.
Snowmageddon.
It really is. Like, this would be the ultimate snowstorm for, like, newscasters.
At the end, it's freaking apocalyptic. Yeah. I could not believe that.
I can't get my head around. What would that be, like 20 feet of snow?
And what if Pa didn't have that window in the upper bunks there?
My wife said, where would they go to the bathroom? Like, where's the outhouse?
Get the chamber pot out.
Like, you gotta scoop out like a hole, I guess, in the front door and go to the right. there's a lot of weirdness. So I thought one thing that was really smart was they tied the rope from the house to the barn.
Yes.
But then the door flew off.
Yeah. That's Pa's poor workmanship. I don't want him building my house.
That's straight out of the books, too. They actually had to do that. Those blizzards were biblical. I mean, this was supposed to be the 1870s. They absolutely had 20-foot blizzards in Minnesota.
Well, in New York, even in 1888, we had the blizzard of 1888. You know, where it was ridiculous.
Mm.
But so that it covers your entire door.
Yes,
yeah. I mean, I just couldn't believe that.
At least there's two recorded instances in Minnesota of 20-foot snowdrifts in 1866, and then again in 1880. So these 12-foot ones, you know, that they didn't rate the world's record, I guess, but they absolutely had this ridiculous weather. It was still the end of the Little Ice Age, so we had some cold winters.
Yeah, I mean, if you look into, and there's a lot of amazing stories about the blizzard of 1888 in New York, where people got stuck on the elevated train. They just stopped the trains because they couldn't go anywhere. And this one particular train was stranded above a pub, you know, like a brewery, not a brewery, but a pub. And they would actually lower baskets and fill it up with booze for the people on the train.
Nice.
But, you know, we're talking, there are pictures where it's like 20-foot high mountains of snow. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really closed down the city for like a week. And, you know, back then, all the wires and everything for all the phones and stuff were all weighed down, all ripped apart, and it's really pretty nuts. Oh, Little House. You bring back memories.
I don't know where we want to start on this show.
Yeah, I guess we just, they get stuck in there. And they also rip into Adam. It's like, Adam has his sight back. And he goes, I'll help you fix the door. And he's like, in your city coat, you won't last. You'll freeze.
Meanwhile, Alonzo's coat didn't look much better.
But it's Alonzo. Mm. Come on.
Manly.
He's a man's man.
Farmer boy.
Now, I just also want to point out that it appears that everyone, even Eliza Jane. No, not Eliza Jane. Who's the slave girl? The girl, Hester Sue. Everyone seemed to have a nicer house than the Ingalls growing up.
You know what? I mean, we'll get there when we talk about, you know, everybody has their flashbacks to their own Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we get to Hester Sue's, I will bring that up. Because, you know,
it didn't really click until this time when I watched it. I found that to be probably the most upsetting of the stories. Because she's a slave, you know, like there, and it's...
Well, I have questions about that as well.
It's very saddening. Like,
why? At first I was confused because the opening shot of Hester Sue... I mean, we can do this out of order. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
You know, at the beginning of Hester Sue's flashback, there's this shot of this beautiful house. And then we see Hester Sue as a young girl with her mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's their house. How did those Negroes get to be?
Right.
And then they're talking about they can't afford socks or mittens or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was confused, and then I realized, oh, they're working for Massa.
You know, yeah, that's the thing. You know, she does preface it with, this is all before the Civil War, or during the Civil War.
Yeah, So I don't know if we could get into Hester Sue's story. Yeah. We could rip that one apart.
Yeah, let's start with that one. It's the funniest.
So is that 17?
The funniest.
No, it really was, I don't know, the biggest bummer out of them all, I thought. It was not a bummer. You know, it's slavery. But I thought that it was also pretty effective the way she told it. So here you go.
Looks like those two are in dreamland.
You still not tired?
Oh, I'm getting there.
Why don't you two go get some rest? I'll watch the fire.
Well, Madam did say he'd spell me.
I'll wake him up when it's time.
You sure you don't mind?
Not a bit. With all of the memories of Christmas, I have a few of my own.
Good ones, I hope.
Mostly. There is one that I can't seem to forget.
Tell us.
Well, tell us.
Come on, we'd love to hear it.
It was during the Civil War. The early part, I was about 10. And Emily, the daughter of the man that ran the plantation, was my best friend. I'd gone to town with Mama because it was the day before Christmas and Emily had to talk to Santa Claus. Of course, I had to wait outside while Mama took her in because blacks couldn't buy anything in that store anyway.
Also keeping in mind, this Santa Claus is a very Coca-Cola Santa Claus. And this is a little bit of, I don't think Santa Claus would look like this back then. Just saying, just saying.
But I didn't care. It was fun just looking in the window.
Look at there. See that train? It runs steam just like the big ones.
Oh, I wish I had that.
Fishing's all you can do.
How you know? I've been good.
You think Santa Claus cares if you're good?
Sure he does.
When you get bigger, you'll find out he don't bring nothing that good for black children. Them's for white folks.
How you know?
Just look at him. He's a white man. He take care of his own.
You want to continue? I mean, it's a lot of... Sorry.
A little bit of ABBA there at the end.
Yeah, it did sound like that. So she's staring into the shop and seeing her best friend on the lap of Santa and basically getting to tell Santa, you know... Mm. You know, Santa's a really powerful image to a child, you know, to think, you know, you get to... All you have to do is get to this guy and say what you want, and if you're a good child, you'll get it. So it's really a slap in the face when you really break it down from a child's perspective about how sad it really is if you can't even talk to Santa. So it's pretty sad.
Yeah, I didn't like this moaning about Santa being a honky. I was like,
But yeah, here's the next clip where, as you wrote, moaning about Santa as a honky.
Will you listen to Mr. Hayes' voice? He sings louder than any man I've ever heard. Must have gotten a Christmas punch pretty early.
Oh, you should have heard him tonight. All dressed up like Santa. Handing out presents to grown-ups. Oh, and he gave the missus a ring with a stone in it the size of a robin's egg.
Bet she liked it, huh?
She hugged his neck for 20 minutes.
Bet you'd like to have one.
Land sakes, what would I do with it? I think it's silly. Size, I don't want to have nothing. I got to worry about losing all the time.
You ain't got nothing to worry about losing. At least not yet.
Not ever.
What?
We ain't never gonna get nothing like that.
Double negatives.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's the end of the episode. it's the worst. It feels so bad.
Now, how do you know that, young lady?
Because I know. Because Santa Claus is white.
Well, how do you know that?
Everybody knows that.
I don't.
I saw him today in the store.
That wasn't the real Santa. Well, he lives in the North Pole. Way far off.
Then who's that in the store?
Just a man, pretending. Why, nobody knows what the real Santa Claus looks like.
Yes, they do. He's fat and he's jolly, with a white beard and a white face. That's why we ain't never gonna get nothing good.
You know, you take this dad and you take Almanzo's dad. And Almanzo's dad really knows how, he's a quicker guy. He knows how to think on his feet.
You know, you talk about this episode being a downer.
Yeah.
I think the Almanzo episode is more of a downer for reasons we'll get into in a second.
Wait, you mean, really? You thought that was more of a downer?
Yeah, because they torture the big brother and not give him any presents that Christmas.
That's awesome. That's the way it should be. You learn your lesson, man.
I was like, and Anthea, this one, like, this little girl gets what she wants.
Yeah, but, you know, she had to work for that. I mean, you know what? What another thing is, she wouldn't have gotten anything if the guy hadn't stepped up and got the doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to play that clip? This is where Massa gives the help something. It's funny. They give – he seems like a nice Massa.
Right, it's always hard to say that, you know, because it's like, you know.
He's giving something for the guy's kid, but not to, you know, you don't even give him a bottle of wine or something. Something, like, I was really surprised he didn't give anything, but, all right.
Yeah, like a better place to live? Well, you know what, I will say, I was just looking at their place, and their place is pretty shabby as well. No, I mean, you know, they could paint the walls, you know what I mean? Like, they could have given these people better living quarters. And
it was really just the Ingalls house redressed.
It really was. The loft.
It was that small.
It was the loft.
Oh, okay.
You could use a shave, James.
Evening, yes, sir.
Evening. Glad I got to see you before I go to sleep. Got something here for Hester Sue.
See those lamb chops on the side of this guy's head? This is some awesome. He's like a burn victim.
Thanking you, sir.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank Santa Claus. Emily asked him to bring something specially for Hester Sue. Well,
that's mighty nice of her. Nothing for you, though.
Yeah.
Aww.
There you go.
It's a white angel.
You have a Merry Christmas, James.
Re-gifting right there.
You too, sir.
Good night.
Oh, sir, I'll have the missus press your costume before you store it away.
Well, thank you, James. I'll be fine.
So, yeah, I mean, they're much more respectful, you know, this isn't exactly Roots, you know.
It's not Mandingo. Right.
But they were owned, you know.
They were the house help, this is what appears to mean. They were the ones that were in the house. Yeah.
But you know what?
Which had it way better than a lot of the people that lived out on the plantation, or whatever euphemism you want to use.
But, you know, but the bottom line is they were owned. And it's like, oh, geez, that's just the worst possible thought ever. But here we go. What's this music?
Stay, oh,
This is more of a visual thing, but...
Mm-hmm. Right. Basically, Dad is dressing up as Santa Claus, and little Hester Sue sees him and takes the gift that Daddy as Santa has left. Mm-hmm. And she's so... Did you guys notice the irony here? She's so happy about the present. And the present is... it's a doll. I thought it was a tree ornament or something, but it's a white girl.
It's a white angel. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not like they really made black dolls back then.
I know, but give her a toy or something.
I hear that.
I wrote this down, you know, that the wonderful gift she got, and it's a white angel. The gift doesn't even it's not a representation of what she looks like, so...
But, you know, back then, being that it didn't exist, that's what you wanted.
I understand.
You
could have changed it to, like, a toy or something. You know, something a kid, I don't know, might use conceivably.
I agree with you. It could have been a number of things. It could have been a cloth doll. You know, like, it could have been.
Yeah.
But it was it ended up being some type of porcelain angel, which looks like hours of fun.
Still has it to this day. Now, the timing, the time frame is way, way off on this, because what is Hester Sue, like 35, 40 years old?
You're probably 40. Yeah, so okay. 40 years prior. That's what I thought.
And we're supposed to be in, what is this, 1880?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so the time frame is way off.
So this would have to be 1850.
Well, the Civil War was,
1860 to 1865.
Oh, okay.
They made me learn that.
So, you know what? You have to think that Hester Sue's maybe a little older. Maybe she's like 10 or 15 years older. I just destroyed your theory. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, she's not old. They're not far enough into the future for Hester Sue to have been a 10-year-old girl at the beginning of the Civil War.
If she was 50, she would. Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, the oldest she could be.
It's going the wrong way.
Yeah. The oldest, the young, she would have to be like 30.
Yep.
Yeah, she struck me as being 8, 10 years old. Did she say she was 10?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hester Sue always struck me as being a little bit older than that, but anyway.
Also, she, you know, was married. All right, so here's a thank you for being you to Hester Sue.
She's saying that to Santa.
Yeah.
Thanks, Santa. Thank you. Thank you for being you.
It's funny, when you're isolated, it sounds just like Carrie.
It does.
Yeah.
And we have some Carrie footage coming up. But
but you know what's really great about Carrie now? She's grown up.
She is a big girl who acts just like that retarded kid she was at the beginning in the opening credits.
But she looks better.
Like, and she
I don't mean it like that.
Same way.
I don't mean it like that. I mean it more along the lines of there was some type of growth. Like, she grew like 6 inches or something, and she looks more fitting for her age. She's now like the youngest part of what Laura was when Laura first started.
Because
Carrie didn't seem to grow for like 10 years.
We'll play a clip later when we get to the end of the show, but everybody is still acting like she's still the same old dumb Carrie.
Yeah, that's true. To Carrie, go back to bed.
Carrie, what the hell are you talking about? It's not sunlight yet.
And did anybody look up the song that Hester Sue was singing?
I couldn't even understand what song that was.
No.
Yeah. It was Sweet Little Jesus Boy. Mm-hmm. And it was composed in 1934.
I have that clipped out if somebody wants to play that.
I just thought that was interesting. I had to look that up.
It put Grace to sleep and it put me to sleep.
Odd.
It's Q8. It's Q8.
All right, we'll do a minute of it.
All right.
Hold on.
It's.
But that doesn't mean that it was written in 1934. It just means that it was published.
You're yeah. I was gonna. I had more on that, but go ahead.
Don't yell at me. This isn't it,
Caroline.
No, it's not it.
Your clips are wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Q6. I couldn't read that. Sorry. My eyes are bad. Sorry.
Does Albert say anything in this episode?
He does at the dinner table.
Yeah, says he's going to go make his make up the bed or something.
Yeah, he gets blankets when Pa tells him.
Mm-hmm. He would have had a good Christmas story, man. Think about it. I mean, he had the whole like living on the streets thing going on. He was a pickpocket.
This should have been a 2-hour.
This should have been a 2-parter.
Give me some of that old-time religion.
Yeah, where's the fiddle?
Sweet little Jesus boy, we didn't know.
Well, she has a solid voice. I mean, that's, you know, to hit those kind of notes consistently, even though it's a little bit falsetto, it was pretty solid, you know. Does she have a singing background?
Who, that actress?
Yeah, do you know?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't be that surprised, or maybe in a part of a choir or something.
Can somebody tell me the lyrics? What did she just sing? I didn't get
she
it.
She sang about sweet little Jesus boy. It's based on old black spirituals that they used to sing, but it, like you just commented, it wasn't published or until the 30s. But yeah, it was undoubtedly based on songs that had been sung for decades. And yes, Katie Lester, she was definitely a singer. She had. She had a history of being a recording artist.
Okay.
I am never going to criticize getting together with my in-laws and that family because they're more fun than the Ingalls with their fiddles and the black lady singing.
Well,
it's much more fun.
Why don't you give us the overview of Ma's story, if one of you'd want to take that. But...
Mom's story?
Okay, yeah, the reason why the clips aren't going to give this justice, they're really boring. I think it's boring to listen to.
Really?
I think the story is good.
The story is perverted when you think about it.
Well, that's the thing.
So Ma, every Christmas, Ma takes out a necklace that she wears only at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's because her Pa died. And Caroline's mother married Pa's best friend seemingly very quickly.
Yeah.
Because they talk about it's like the same year. The guy dies, Ma remarries. Zip, zap, zoop.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't get that fully at first. But yeah, this time around, I'm like, that's kind of strange. I wonder how common that was. What was that guy's deal? Why wasn't he married?
Just so quickly.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. You guys, thumbs up for the young Caroline or what? I know she's preteen there. Anyway,
she's a lousy actress.
She's a lousy actress, but she was kind of cute.
Let's look at her upbringing. You know, look at the, she basically has, her bedroom is nicer than Nellie's.
That is a really nice house they're in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it, you know.
That
like,
bed was beautiful. It
was
had,
like, a brass
metal...
and...
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is she complaining about? But
they show her, and it's like she's in a log cabin.
But Caroline doesn't like this stepdad, and she misses her dad until the stepdad says, hey, you know what? Your dad gave me this old watch, Bob, and here it is. I'm going to give it to you because I think you should have it. Or, you know, there's a clip where he kind of explains what he's doing.
Well, do you want to hear it? I'll play.
All right, that's the clip 8.
All right. Let's see. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
There's that Christmas music.
Yeah.
Go away. Please go away.
She's terrible.
Yeah.
This is the most terrible Christmas I can imagine for a child. And you hardly know a stranger being where your father used to be.
Fucking your mother.
Feel the same. On top of everything, it has to rain.
I don't want to talk to you.
No, I just want to say on top, though, again, her bedroom is nicer than Nellie's. She's on, like, this handmade, like, it's not even, like, quilted or whatever. It's, like, a really nice bedspread that looks, like, you know, handmade. Her windows are, you know, have curtains. The walls are painted.
Yep.
If you look out in the hallway, there's molding on the walls. It's nice. It's...
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me wonder, what the backgrounds that everyone seems to have come from, that everybody took a step down. It's weird. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Maybe it is all wrong. Maybe your mother and I shouldn't have married. A man like your father, the likes of me, could never begin to take his place. Not a man like him. He's the finest I ever knew. We were friends. I guess you remember that. Don't know if you felt the same way. Probably not, but I thought of him as the best friend I ever had. When he passed on, I cried.
Self-inflicted gun shot to the head.
It was a hunting accident.
He shot himself in the head 6 times. Reloaded twice.
He gave me something once. Something I always admired, and he gave it to me.
I carried this in my ass.
I decided you should have it. And instead of waiting till tomorrow, maybe now's the time for you to open it.
You know, my wife said, it's like, how come, like, the family didn't, like, help them out financially a little bit? My wife can't get past the way they live. It's like, how there's, like, a little bit of plaster on the walls and everything. Do you ever notice that in the back of, like, in the little house, in the back, it's like, it's almost like they're in the middle of plastering it.
Right, the wall looks unfinished.
Yeah.
Above about 9 foot up or 8 foot up, something like that.
Yeah, it just looks
I always noticed that.
Ran out of plaster, so we're not going to finish it.
That would be Pa's poor workmanship.
They did have different backgrounds. I mean, I don't remember if there was anything actually written about Carolyn Ingalls' background as far as in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Ingalls, when we're talking about Charles and Carolyn Ingalls and their family, I mean, they were basically hunter-gatherers in a little cabin in the woods and then went for a better life. And, yeah, they faced starvation multiple times.
And they did a ton of moving. They did so much more moving than to show that song.
Oh, exactly.
Like dozens of times they moved.
The show would be too depressing if they actually went through all the situations. It was kind of...
They seem to move every year and a half.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And Laura married up. Almanzo came from a very more well-off background than anyone else.
Well, look at Eliza Jane's house. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they had a working productive farm, and they made an income. And of course, we'll get to Royal and Almanzo.
Here's another question. What happened to Eliza Jane's house? Remember, like, she, like, gave it to them?
Yes.
But then Almanzo bought the farm. And then they lived in, like, a shack. They basically rebuilt the little house. Do you remember that?
Are you not confusing the new couple that moved into
No.
House? No?
I am talking about season 9. But Almanzo is living on his farm. And granted, you can't just move the house to the farm. But Eliza Jane's house is just... They don't go back to it.
Remember
Eliza Jane's house is nice. Like, she's got the nice tea set. She's got...
Yeah, I remember they moved into Eliza Jane's house because she moved off and got married so that they could have the house.
Yeah. Which is... By the way, the actress, I forget her name right now, is actually on my Facebook friend list now.
Lucy Flippin?
Yeah, Lucy Flippin.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach out to these people and try to get some people on, man. I'm close to Eddie Deason now, man.
Are you communicating with him?
A little bit, very little bit, but you know. He you know what's funny about Eddie Deason? Every single post he makes is in 100% caps.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I don't know why, though. It's like, just need a new keyboard or something? Or
try and be friends with Karen Grassel.
I'd love that, man. You know, this coming summer, I was trying to get Betsy to go to the Little House on the Prairie thing in... Not upstate New York, it's like to the west of New York. And they have this whole thing at the Wilder Farm... Where I think she goes to it every year and does, like, meet and greet. So I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I'd love to do that. There's a lot of cool stuff to do over there, too. Like, nothing. Churn butter and whatnot. But, so, basically, all right. You know, and I am looking at the girl who played Carolyn, and her hair is made up perfectly, and she really does look like a Nelly character.
A Nelly character?
Yeah. Or Nancy. No, well, I'm saying she's very polished.
Yeah, she looks well-to-do.
Yeah,
she does.
Well-to-do.
But I don't know why she left home for that Ingalls fellow.
Have you ever seen him with his shirt off?
It's an ivory watch fob. I just put a chain on it. Like I said, I always admired it. One birthday, he just up and gave it to me. It has a mother and child etched on it. They call it a nativity scene. Hope you like it.
That's Florence Henderson singing.
Oh, is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
That would be funny. I can picture it. Rest in peace, Florence Henderson.
Boy, they really laid it on with the music in this episode.
Oh, man, it's on nonstop.
So he's basically praying to the fire, like in some type of weird pagan ritual.
Please, I want the girl to love me.
So she comes out and gives him a hug, and you know.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to like turn out like the stepdad is a molester or something. But
It
didn't go there for Christmas. That's a later episode.
I'm going to go to. You keep writing Alonzo, which is funny. It's almost like you're Mrs. What's her name? I almost said Mrs. Garrett. The mercantile woman.
Mrs.
Solson?
Yeah, because she can never get Almanzo's name right.
Zeldamo!
And Chris wrote Alonzo. Oh, no, it is Alonzo, but you wrote it differently.
You pointed it out earlier where everybody's saying, tell me. You know, when everybody wants to start a story, so go ahead and tell us. I just love those cues for people. I think we're going to hear one right now.
All right, I'm about to cue it up.
Q-tip.
Cue it up. That's some wind, boy. Whoa. Nothing's that funny, guys. There's nothing to do.
It is with beer.
Seriously, that's what they should have on the table, is like a few empty bottles of wine.
Yeah, some kind of alcohol to just keep warm. Brandy, something.
And you know, in the background, actually, you do have Albert still hanging out with the...
Mary's gone to bed.
Not enough.
Mary was asleep as soon as her head hit the pillow.
I'm not the least bit tired.
Oh, I sure
am. Me too. Oh, there they
go. I'm afraid that's the best I can do.
Jason Bateman's out.
Night, Paul.
Good night. Everybody. Night.
Show's not about you. Goodbye.
Oh, he was barely...
It's not all that late.
Yeah.
I guarantee Grace will be the first one away Christmas morning.
Which reminds me, we've got to get those stockings.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about it. I'll take care of it.
I just can't imagine a Christmas morning.
Now, they open up this cabinet. Like, you know, they're pretty much... I don't know about you guys' house, but it's like every square corner needs to be kind of occupied in my house. You open up a cabinet, there's stuff in it. they open it up, and this huge cabinet... There's no cabinets in their entire place. They open up this cabinet, there's nothing in there. Except for these socks.
There's three socks in this cabinet.
And it's where they keep them.
Here's where we keep the Christmas socks.
They're poor. They don't have anything.
Come on. Where's all that china that he bought for Caroline that episode? What happened to the china?
Morning with that little ones. All excited about their stockings and their presents.
Half pint, your stocking is still in there if you'd like me to hang it up for you.
I remember a Christmas morning I'll never forget.
Tell us about it, Amanda.
Oh, boy.
See, my folks were awful good people, but they were awful strict, too. Kept us on our toes, I can tell you. The closer Christmas got, the more careful we were not to make any mistakes. Christmas Eve was an especially nervous time. I was only six. Well, there was my older brother, Royal, and my sisters, Eliza Jane and Alice. We all had lots of chores to do, and the thought of not doing them right was a real worry.
Don't you wish your kids were, like, afraid of you?
Polished all day long.
That'd be good.
By the time supper was almost through, we could barely keep our eyes open.
But that... Again, a beautiful house. They're farmers. But, yep. You know, it's a beautiful house.
The house was so clean, it fairly sparkled.
Monzo, finish your plate.
Yes, sir. Is it all right if I go to bed? I'm awful tired.
So am I. Me too.
Not good for a body to sleep with a full stomach.
Besides, you ain't fed the stock yet.
I'll do it now.
Monzo, you can help.
Yes, Pa.
Now, who's this kid, the kid who played on Monzo? I thought it was Ricky Schroeder at first, but then I realized that
This kid's bad, too.
But who... Have you ever seen this kid before?
Yes.
In what? Well, I can't place him.
He's little Jerry Superian. Or Superian. And he was the little boy in the famous 80s sitcom Small Wonder. She's a small wonder.
I know the show, but... Oh, yeah, okay. I don't really remember... I kind of remember his character. I paid more attention to the robot. Is that mostly what he's famous for?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he was a child actor, and actually, I think he was homeless for a while. And yeah, it was a bunch of stuff from the early to mid '80s. And
tell us about it.
Never got seen again. He won 4 awards for Young Artist.
Really?
Young Artist Awards in the '80s.
He now shares an apartment with Leif Garrett. All right, here's the rest of the clip.
You girls can start clearing the table.
Yes, sir.
Women's work.
You best do what you say or else you get the switch.
Yeah. Get a whooping.
We better not forget to leave some milk and cookies out tonight.
What for?
Santa, of course.
You still believe in Santa Claus?
No.
Of course, he's real.
He is not.
He has two. And you better not talk like that or he won't leave you any presents.
Paul already got the presents for us.
That's a lie.
Is it? Come here.
Why does this kid have to be such a jerk?
Let me show you the ways of the world.
Oh, man.
See? I found him.
All that store-bought wrapping paper.
Yesterday. Look at that.
Come on, let's get back to work.
I just crushed your dreams. Now pick up the shovel.
The boy's thinking, oh, what has my world come to?
Seriously, his whole life just dissolved.
Stock's fed and the stalls are clean. I'm going to bed now.
Where's your brother?
He's still in the barn.
Why didn't he come in with you?
I don't know. Good night.
I'll get him.
He's out there crying. I don't know.
Land sakes, boy. What are you doing out here?
Sitting.
Well, you best get inside and into your bed. What if old Santa Claus comes and you're still awake?
He's not coming.
What are you talking about?
There's no Santa Claus.
No Santa Claus? Where'd you get a crazy idea like that?
From Royal. He told me you got all the presents.
Well, that just goes to show you how little he knows.
He showed me the presents.
What presents?
The ones that you put under the canvas.
Under the canvas?
Oh, Pa, you know that's where you put them.
I don't know any such thing. And neither does your brother. Now, you listen to me. How big is Santa's sleigh?
I don't know for sure.
Well, I'd say it was about from right here to, right here. Yeah, that's about right. Now, didn't you ever wonder how Santa could get all the toys for all the boys and girls in that one little sleigh?
I never thought about it.
I can see that. Well,
dummy.
The only way he could do it would be to have toys hidden all over the world, just like he hid them under the canvas.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it. Makes sense, too, don't it?
It sure does. I'm gonna go tell Royal.
No, no. You best just not say a word.
Why?
Well, Santa might be real angry at Royal for sneaking around and poking into places he don't belong.
I didn't poke in. He showed me.
Oh, I know, I know. I just think it's best to forget it ever happened. All right?
All right.
Okay, off to bed then.
I love you, Pa.
I love you too.
And I'm sure glad there's a Santa Claus.
Me too.
I'm gonna whoop that boy. So you don't like the fact that the next day the kid just didn't get gifts.
He gets nothing.
That's
he's sitting
than...
in a corner. He's
That's
sitting
better
in a
than
corner.
What happened.
I don't know. I think that was... if he didn't get a beating, that was his reward, you know?
Yeah, in the Farmer Boy book, the bad kids would have gotten a switch in their stocking. And
no, on their hiney.
No, but I was saying that you get the switch in there, and then you get beat with it.
Here's the switch. You know what comes next.
And it, I don't know, I just felt like that was justice served. That, you know, I felt like Almanzo's dad is the most fair of the fathers.
Now, Almanzo certainly had a very he had a very great childhood.
Right, very had, well-rounded. Like a very moral person.
They never, well, I meant materially, they never really wanted for anything. He had, they had unlimited resources compared to the people that we're used to seeing on Little House.
Stupid Almanzo. And on top of it, he's like 6'3" and blonde.
So,
So let's see. Let's,
There's one left.
No, you have a funny thing that Chris clipped a funny little thing here. I'll play this. So a window breaks.
It's really whistling through these shutters. Got plenty of firewood in here. We're going to freeze to death.
I'll give you a hand.
Come on, Alonzo.
And it's on top of that. That's kind of funny. The, what's the blind, the guy who was blind? Mary's husband? Yeah. He's like, I'll help you. And he goes, come on, Alonzo. Just basically ignores him.
Mom, it's all right, dear. Go back to bed.
Is Santa gonna die in the storm?
No. Santa's used to this. He lives in the North Pole.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Now back to bed.
I'm sure of what? Go to bed.
It did sound like she was losing her temper right there.
Yeah, it's like, get in there! It's almost 8:30.
It's a school day. You have 3 miles to walk to school tomorrow.
I think they're only actually about a mile and a half from the school.
Oh, well, okay, whatever.
in 15 feet of snow.
It would have been holiday season anyway.
Well, I wonder how much time. Well, they probably get the entire winter off until spring. until the creek thawed.
They certainly weren't going anywhere.
No. I'd like to see them a week later and see how they're getting along, you know?
Yeah.
On New Year's, I want to see how happy they are. I'm Mary.
Next episode. Well, we're still snowed in.
Can somebody walk Mary to the goddamn outhouse?
Outhouse is completely covered and frozen over.
They ran out of food, so they have to eat Carrie.
Oh, no. The dog. Actually, what happened with the dog?
That was, like, first season gone.
No. What? The dog, didn't they say, like, well, what happened to Jack or something like that? It's like, Jack, he must have gone in the farm. I mean, he must have gone into the barn.
Let's all hope so. We can't check, though.
He can't. Well, Pa could have.
He can't.
Because he, you know, walked across the, you know, 15 feet of snow. I kept thinking he was going to drop. Wow. All right, so what other story?
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, we have Mr. Edwards.
Yeah. Them coming back in from the snow reminds Laura of that time Mr. Edwards showed up.
Tell us about it, Laura. So this is to show, like, how much padding is here. Like, you couldn't do this is like a rehash of, like, the very first Little House
movie. Yeah.
Movie, you know, and they're just rehashing clips now, and this is just really...
Right, the other clips we got were actually newly produced clips. Now we're going to actually get a flashback.
Yeah, you know, Victor French is still alive, man. He's on Facebook.
Victor French is still alive?
Yep.
He died years ago.
No.
He's dead. He is dead.
Look it up.
I'd stake my life.
They must be freezing out there. I just hope they can find their way back from the barn.
You know, it's taking them a long time.
Frightens me. Mm. I've seen what can happen in a blizzard like this. You wander a few feet from the house and you're lost. You don't know which way to turn. Oh, thank heavens.
Oh, don't grab my arms, they'll break off. Oh. We have to take a little time before we can get those presents in the storm. Let me get some coffee.
Thanks.
By the way, Laura's voice is a little irritating. Anybody else think that? It's a little shrill.
And not only that, the clothes she's wearing, it kind of looks like maybe she was pregnant in real life and they're trying to hide it.
No, I think she is pregnant. I think her character is supposed to be pregnant.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Yeah.
I think so.
What's so funny?
You two look like twin Santa Clauses coming in here like that.
What does this remind you of?
What?
These two coming in all covered with snow.
Everyone?
Mr. Edwards, our first Christmas in Kansas.
Tell us about it.
Michael Landon has such a nice tan.
And such a phony laugh.
Well, if it's that funny, why don't you tell us about it?
Tell us how Mr. Edwards almost died crossing the river just to bring us some gifts from Independence.
two tin cups.
Which he got all
and some yams.
Which he got directly from Santa and his pack mule.
All right. Well, that Christmas, I was 7.
No. 8 years old.
Thank God she corrected herself.
And it was terribly cold. Almost as cold as it is now. And the snow was coming down. Not quite as hard as it is now. But next to it. Anyway, we were all waiting for Mr. Edwards' arrival. And we were starting to get a little worried.
I know.
All except Mom. Yeah. She didn't like Mr. Edwards very much. Mainly because he taught me to spit.
Now, don't you think this would have been an opportunity for her to go, no, I didn't have a problem with him, and but no, silence. And he's keeping this bag that's holding together, holding two tin cups and some yams above the water, because God forbid he got those wet. It was probably like 100 degrees out when he shot this. Turkey on a rotisserie?
You like it? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a big bunch of it, okay?
When can we take down our stockings, Mom?
After dinner. Half the fun of presents is looking forward to them.
He's like a frozen, like, ice pop. It's really ridiculous. And again, keeping in mind that this was all shot probably on a day where it's 100 degrees out.
Shut up, Carrie.
Oh my God. She's come so far.
It seems like an awful lot to go through just for Christmas dinner.
Well, it weren't just for dinner. Not that it won't be welcome to him, but you see, I had this here errand due for Santa.
Santa Claus? You know him?
Well, you might say I made his acquaintance when I was coming out of the saloon. When I was coming out of the hotel in Independence.
Well, tell us about it.
Independence. You went all the way to Independence in this blizzard?
That'd be very, like, meta, like, very, like, deep into, like, all of a sudden he's, he starts telling a story about his childhood or something. That'd be kind of good.
You gotta be mad.
Well, that's been said before. Well, anyway, there he was. There he was just standing there with his pack mule.
Reindeers.
Oh, he uses a pack mule out here. It's more practical. Well, I recognize him right away. Recognize him by his big white beard and big round belly. Although he wasn't jolly enough to be doing any ho-ho-hoing. Well, the old gent, you see, he just brightened right up when he seen me. Hello, Edwards, he says. He said, you remember them pair of red mittens I gave you that Christmas when you was just a sprig in Tennessee? Oh, kept me warm many a winter, says I. He says, here you're living down on the Verdigris River now. I said, yeah. He said, you don't happen to know them Mangles girls, do you?
And you said yes.
Oh, I sure did, right away. Well, to make a long story short, see, old Santa said he's mighty worried about being able to cross the creek. You know, with the weather being bad and him not being so spry anymore. So he asked me to fetch your presents to you. That there's what's in the bag.
Can we see the presents now, Ma?
Please, Ma?
All right, now you close up your eyes now. We can't have no peeking. Come on, close them tight. You ain't peeking, are you? Can't stand for no peeking. There we go. All right, you ready? All right. There you are.
We each got our own cups now.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Now look here. Look at this here. Sir, it's one for you, a one for you, and one for you.
I'm gonna save mine.
Not me.
Oh, ma'am, I thought you might like to have these with your turkey.
Like to? Oh, I can't recall the last time we had such a treat.
She's really come a long way since that beautiful bedroom. She's like, wow. It's like, I mean, they're yams, right?
I thought sweet potatoes, right? The same thing?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But that is just so depressing to me. Like, I don't know. It's really, I think it's very sad. Sorry.
Ouch.
But let's see. And also, Ma looks great here. This is an early,
oh, yeah.
Early, everybody looks a lot better here. Are there any other, oh, yeah. The Snowden Q, I'm going to go to. So we're going to find out the next morning what happened. Everybody kind of passed out. People are probably waking up a little bit, looking outside and seeing it's still dark out and not realizing that it's the sun has been up for a while.
Pa? Pa?
Hmm? Oh, Carrie, honey, what is it?
It's time to wake up. It's Christmas morning.
Carrie, honey, it's pitch black outside. Now, I know you're anxious to open your presents, but you're going to have to wait until morning.
It's morning.
Carrie, it's the middle of the night.
Pa, look!
I'm sorry, Carrie. You're not stupid.
It's like 20 feet above, like there's a window.
Hey, wake up, everybody! Come on, wake up!
How claustrophobic would you feel? I mean, I swear to God, I mean, I don't know how I'd feel being encased in snow.
Well, it's Christmas morning, darling, and we're snowed in.
There's no presents. Santa couldn't make it through the blizzard.
Yeah, but don't worry, Carrie. I'm sure he couldn't get in the house, so we left him all in the barn.
But we can't get to the barn to find out.
I wouldn't be so sure of that. Now, Monzo, give me a hand. Morning, darling.
Morning, Pa. Merry Sweet Christmas.
Same to you. What's going on? Yeah, we're trying to get to the barn.
And it's comical when they show, like, the outside.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it just looks...
It, you know it something, Monzo?
It looks more phony than ever.
This is gonna work.
Oh, that's so a soundstage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole thing is, yeah, of course.
Oh, she's out from under the bed. Carolyn?
Yes?
Bring me my head coat, darling.
What on earth for?
It's a beautiful morning. I'm gonna take a walk.
Land sakes.
Glory to God.
In all seriousness, I mean, he could easily fall 20 feet.
Right through, yeah.
And die.
Right, I was thinking the same thing. If it's unevenly packed or there's a spot. Yeah.
But you know what? It is uneven. I mean, it's fresh snow. It's powder.
And yeah, there's no way that this open plain could be this solid snow. There's just no way.
And it's like, if he were to fall, I mean, all right, granted, he's on a soundstage. But if he were to fall, he would just be lost out there. I mean, he'd be digging, not knowing which way to go. And
yeah, that actually happened in one of the books where Paul was lost like 20 feet from the house. And it was just pitch white outside. You can't see where anything is. So that's why they had the rope tied.
But is that why did that happen to Pa? Did he die? Yes. He died?
He didn't die, but he was lost for a whole night.
Lost a few fingers. Blizzard.
Yeah.
And another thing.
Bring a flashlight.
If that is so piled up from the ground past the door, it must also be on the roof, and it's going to cave in any second.
Well,
they didn't really.
No, yeah. The roofs are pitched, so the snow would fall off.
Really? I mean, come on. There's got to be some accumulation
in mind,
on there that's going to...
No, I agree with you. But, I mean, keeping in mind that the little house is heated, so...
I guess, yeah.
But still, that's a lot.
Well, there's a foot of snow on the roof there.
And I don't know how much heat you're going to get out of that little tiny oven they have.
Okay.
The oven and the fireplace.
And they have... the fireplace, all right. And they have...
Good wishes.
They have a well or so. They have water that comes in.
Not during these.
Not times. Now.
Oh, well, okay, actually, you know question. What? No. Well, water doesn't freeze because it's so deep. I mean, it could freeze.
Yeah, but the pipe that comes in when they pump it, right, that thing's going to be frozen.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, it's not good times.
Damn it.
So do we want to play pause? You know, he sums up the spirit of Christmas better than Ralph Cramden did in that Honeymooners episode.
Yeah. Hold on. Michael Landon always has a knack for Christmas type things. Yeah, leave it to a Jew.
There you go.
Oh,
that's the last of it.
Thank goodness. Oh. The children are already opening their presents.
You know something? I'm glad we got snowed in. Man, what can a man ask for? A beautiful morning, house full of loved ones, and a brand new scarf.
Charles Ingalls. You peeked.
Well, of course I did. You always tell me I act like a child.
You proved that this morning.
Prepare for another kid tonight. Snowed in.
Ooh, I just get Christmas goosebumps all over.
No, that
was a good episode. That's exactly it. Look here. I wish I could play. I have to figure out how to play that.
Jerry Sidney and S.L. Monzo.
It's like, coming up next on Fantasy Island. Actually, what network did Little House air on?
NBC.
NBC, okay.
And it was on Monday night at 7 p.m. Central.
Wait, Fantasy Island was ABC, I think?
Yep, on Saturday nights.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of wondering, what ran with Little House?
Like, well, what was channel, on opposite?
Yeah, channel 2 was like, MASH is, that was 9. So I think the 8 o'clock spot was not, I think that was always Little House and, like, nothing survived on the other channels in that time frame.
I don't mean against MacGyver. It. I mean, what,
MacGyver, I think, was Monday night on 7.
What would run like before or after Little House?
Little House would have been the first primetime show of the evening on Monday
night. Yeah, as early as possible.
And I think
it was 7 p.m. Central.
And I think on NBC after this, they would do like a movie. Like a movie of the week. I don't think they had
NBC Monday Night at the Movies for a number of years.
Yeah, I can't really see a sitcom following Little House.
Sitcoms were on opposite Little House.
Or what cop shows would come on at 10, you know, like Hill Street Blues or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But all right, well, guys, thank you very much for getting together for this episode of Walnut Grove Cast.
It was
Merry Christmas and God bless us all, everyone.
And that's the thing, man. You know, we're talking about Christmas, so it's a Merry Christmas. It's none of this Happy Holiday nonsense.
this has been a Little House secular.
No, but I here's the thing: when people say, you know, Happy Holidays, well, you know, Hanukkah is a holiday, but it's not like a high and holy holiday. It's not a very it's not a very important Jewish holiday. It's just, it's been built up because it just so happens that it falls around the same time as Christmas sometimes. And, you know, so when people say happy holidays, like, thank you, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, you know, it's Christmas time. That's the way I see it. Anyway. So enjoy your holiday.
Have a great Little House secular non-denominational holiday special.
Nice.
Alright, but alright, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you next time.
Place to be if you're leaving in 1863.